Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show, where I'm sounding a little rough this morning.
And who's that guy?
I would like to apologize for that in advance. I don't know what's going on. I'll be honest with you. I noticed a little congestion yesterday, popped a couple Sudafed before I went to bed, and it released all of this stuff right down into my vocal cords.
Giving to us.
No, I'm not. I don't think I'm sick. I've just got a little drainage. That's all, Carl. Don't worry about it. I'll be all right. Hopefully, as the morning goes on, it works its way out. That frog will work its way out of my throat.
You love your Sudafed.
You have to. If you're on air, you have to love that stuff. Nasal spray just doesn't get the job done.
You know, that nasal spray stuff is very addicting.
It is.
Oh, I think we've talked about that. Now apparently I have
you.
A frog. Mm-hmm. See, Mark, it's already happening.
Sorry. Let me apologize, but we'll get through this. I'll keep drinking tea and coffee and try to work it out as the morning goes on.
We have caramel-flavored coffee in the kitchen.
Really?
Yes.
You didn't tell me that,
Carl.
Did
you make this morning?
No, it's from Scooters.
Oh, that's old.
I know, but it still tastes good. I had some. I warmed it up.
I'm not weird about that. I'm that person who will
try. Coffee.
No, I'll heat coffee back up. It's not as good, but I'll heat it up.
She says I deserve better than old coffee.
There are strange people who put their coffee over ice.
Oh,
so I
love iced coffee.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Why don't you like iced coffee?
You're going to draw that line in the sand.
This is never how
I did not know this.
Coffee. If I'm drinking something and it's cold, it's probably a beer.
What about in the middle of the 100 degrees, you still want a hot coffee?
No, I'll probably drink a soda.
Or tea. Now you're okay with iced tea.
Yeah, just not iced coffee. Sorry. The funniest thing in the world, we're in the middle of Montana a couple years ago on vacation. My son is with us. We're in this, everybody in this place was local. They all had their cowboy hats on and their big boots and their big belt buckles. And so we're in the middle of nowhere in Montana. And the waitress comes over to take our order. And my son looks at her and says, "Do you have iced coffee?" And she said, "What?" He said, "Do you have iced coffee?" And she said, "Son, if you want ice on your coffee, I'll bring you a cup of ice." She brought the pot of coffee and sat on the table and handed him a glass with ice in it. Like, that was their version of it. And I'm all in on that. I'm sorry. That was funny. No matter, I don't care who you are. That was funny. All right. I tell you, Andrew Bailey continues to impress me. He has going to the mat over these this abortion issue. He said there are rules in Missouri that were not overturned by whatever passed in Amendment 3, and I'll go to court to try to prove it. He's battling with Planned Parenthood. We'll talk about that this morning, and you know what his odds are of a victory in that. His argument is that it didn't overturn certain aspects of law that were already in place, including the viability law mm-hmm. that was in place. Even though we had a ban on abortion, there's also a law that says there's a viability point at 20 weeks. So at the very least, we could
cap
abortions at mm-hmm. that point.
So, and I'll, you know what? You know how I feel about this. And you and I are on the same page. But, you know, I would support a federal ban on abortion. And I know probably not many people share that opinion. But I will take a 20-week ban over no restrictions at all in the state of Missouri. I'm going to call that a win. And I feel sad even saying that. But that would be a win at this point.
Yeah, I hate to acknowledge that as well. But it's, you know, you got to take your victories where you can right now. Because I don't know what the legislature is going to do. Maybe it spurs some action by the Missouri House or Senate. This year, we're less than a month away from them being in session. So about a month away, I should say. It's about January 5th, I think. Did we say, Carl, or the 8th?
I think it is the 8th.
Okay.
Because
all right. So
the first is on a Wednesday.
Roughly a month. And between now and then, we'll get a few of these legislators on here and talk about, I mean, hundreds of bills have been pre-filed, many of them dealing with some of these issues. And also the one on bounties that got issued yesterday that's got the left all a Twitter in the state for sure. We'll get to all that and more for you coming up. First, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
In other words, are you willing to commit to the American ideal that no one is above the law?
Absolutely, yes. I commit.
Yeah, that was, of course, Biden back when in 2020 saying, yeah, I'm not going to pardon Donald Trump because I believe in upholding the law. Really?
You want to get angry? You read the Hallie Biden transcript, and that's Beau's widow.
Yes.
And essentially, he turned her into a crack addict.
Wow. Chuck Todd going sideways on the Bidens and Hunter and the pardon. Surprisingly, the left is kind of turning on itself right now.
Are you in favor of Cash Patel's FBI director, Congressman?
Of course. Yeah, we need disruptors. We need somebody to go in the FBI. And I say that as a former federal prosecutor.
Thank you, Chip Roy, there, in case you were wondering. Where have you heard that word before? Disruptor. I've told you all along, you don't get change in any of these agencies unless you have people who are going to be disruptors.
Someone here illegally is prohibited from voting in any election. It also keeps a person from receiving any permit or license to drive, receiving any public benefit, and becoming a legal resident.
Yeah, that's Channel 4 reporting on this new bill that has been submitted early, pre-filed prior to the legislative session by a Senator-elect David Gregory in Senate District 15. So tried several times yesterday to reach David Gregory. He's not returned any of my text messages. I kind of expect him not to talk to the Post. But I did kind of expect I might hear back from him yesterday, and I did not. So maybe he's out of town. He's not made any comment on this yet. But I think it's a fascinating concept. But play part of Cut 12 there for us, Carl, please.
This bill was just submitted, and it's sponsored by Sunset Hills-based David Gregory, House Rep elected to the state Senate just last month. Gregory wants to pay Missourians $1,000 if they turn someone in. We've pulled some sections of the state senator's bill. The first part reads that someone here illegally is prohibited from voting in any election. It also keeps a person from receiving any permit or license to drive, receiving any public benefit, and becoming a legal resident of the state. By the way, it's already illegal to vote if you're not a citizen. Now, the proposed bill also calls for the Department of Public Safety to develop this Missouri Illegal Alien Certified Bounty Hunter Program. The program would certify Missouri residents to be bounty hunters to find and detain illegal immigrants in the state.
Is that Amelotti?
Yes, it is.
I need to call him. Come on, David.
We should email him.
You got several things wrong there. First of all, about this bill. It wouldn't empower just anybody. Like, you couldn't get, you couldn't go out tomorrow and get a license if this passed to get $1,000 every time you caught an illegal. That's not what the bill says. What the bill said was anybody who is a registered bail bondsman, already licensed as a bail bondsman, could get $1,000 if they did that. Have you watched the Bounty Hunter, Dog the Bounty Hunter? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
That's the kind of people they're targeting here, right? Who already go after criminals or people who are on the lam. This is not encouraging you to peek out your window at the guy across the street and call it in and hope you're going to get $1,000. That's not what the bill would do.
But so the Channel 4 article says the bill summary clearly states that any person who makes a report in which an illegal alien is arrested shall receive a award of $1,000. Just the emphasis, though, going back to the way he reported that story, David Amoletti, is that how you say his name?
Amoletti.
Uh-huh. We've seen how he's reported in the past, so it's very obvious to me where he stands politically. But the emphasis of the words, like when he was talking about, by the way, it's already illegal to vote. Like, you can't vote. You can just tell that the way he said that was kind of like a little jab, you know, how stupid are these conservatives to try to say this?
It is illegal federally. It wasn't illegally in the state.
Until November,
right. when we passed the amendment. That will now make it illegal anywhere for somebody who's not here legally to vote. Even if Tashara Jones decided tomorrow she wanted to allow non-citizens to vote in St. Louis City elections, they could no longer do that, like they can in some states. But the bigger issue is, do you know, for the longest time, and I believe up until the 90s, police officers could get a bounty from Customs and Border Patrol if they turned in an illegal alien. If they caught them when they were on patrol, realized they were a non-citizen and in the country illegally, and took them down to the ICE office and dropped them off, they could get a bounty of like $50.
I actually do remember you now telling me that.
And that was a thing until it became politically incorrect in some people's eyes, and the politicians ordered them to stop doing it. I mean, why would you not incentivize law enforcement officers to arrest people who are here illegally?
Were there any, aside from the politics of it, were there any issues with it?
Like, they never had
any major, you know?
No. My father-in-law told me that it was routine practice. For a long time, it was only $25, and then they upped it to $50. So the idea of paying a bounty to find illegal criminal aliens in this country. And we're not just talking about your run-of-the-mill person who broke into the country for a better life, but somebody who's a criminal on the run and has committed crimes in the U.S. That's who they're going after. And I hate when they blow these things out of proportion. And I can't wait to get to David Gregory on the phone so we can actually let him explain a little few more details about this. I'm sure he's perfectly capable of defending and explaining the details of all this when we get him. I'll let you know when we get him scheduled. All right, Carl, let's get to our national anthem, please.
So, Mark, I was told that you chose wrong yesterday, that you should not have chosen Idina Menzel, that you should have chosen Kristen Chenoweth.
Okay.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit it. All right, welcome back. As I continue to struggle with my voice a little bit this morning, I think as the morning wears on, it will get a little better. That's my experience with it. Let's hope so. In the meantime, I wanted to talk a little bit about this challenge to Planned Parenthood in the state. Now, you know, Planned Parenthood is petitioning to, of course, ramp right back up with murdering children because that's their primary business at Planned Parenthood. It's how they make most of their money at Planned Parenthood, as we've learned over the years. And there's an effort to slow that down a little bit. So this was the article in the Post yesterday. Abortion rights activists are asking a judge to overturn Missouri's near total ban on the procedure less than a month after voters backed that abortion rights constitutional amendment. A Jackson County circuit judge is scheduled to hear arguments from Planned Parenthood and from Andrew Bailey's office on whether or not to issue a temporary order blocking enforcement of Missouri's numerous abortion laws. And, of course, they want to get back to business as soon as they can. And Bailey is basically arguing you can't do that. He issued an opinion that most abortions will be legal when that amendment takes effect, but he's still fighting for a ban on most abortions after viability, along with a number of regulations that Planned Parenthood argues made it nearly impossible to offer abortions in the state even before abortion was almost completely banned in 2022. Because of exceptions, the Missouri constitutional amendment allows lawmakers to restrict abortion after viability with exceptions to protect the life or physical and mental health of the pregnant person. The term viability is designed in this law, defined as the 21st week of pregnancy. So there is still hope here that we're going to have some common sense approach on this. Listen to what Brian Westbrook said. He's with Coalition Life. We've had him on the show many times.
We demand that women's health and safety not be compromised. We have seen how Planned Parenthood has demonstrated an utter disregard for the very lives it claims to value.
Yep, that was him yesterday talking outside of that courthouse. And we're hopeful that Bailey has success here. He wants to include a 72-hour waiting period. He wants to ban abortion based on race, sex, or a possible Down syndrome diagnosis. And the requirement that medical facilities that provide abortions be licensed as ambulatory surgical centers. Remember what an issue this was? Because you would have women who would go in for an abortion, end up bleeding, and need to go to the hospital, but the abortion doctor wasn't required to be licensed at the local emergency room. So in other words, he couldn't follow his patient over there and explain what happened or participate in saving them. And under this new law that passed in the Constitution, It redefines what a medical professional is. You don't know if it's a doctor doing it. It's so many things about this are disturbing. Let's hope Andrew Bailey has some luck in this lawsuit when they hear this. It's not clear when that judge is expected to rule on the request for a preliminary injunction. All right, coming up, we'll get to Kim on a Whim right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Okay, well, Bitcoin's path to 100,000 is hitting a speed bump here on track for to snap a four-week winning streak. But our next guest still sees the cryptocurrency climbing to the 250,000 mark. Yes, 250,000 by the end of next year and to 500,000 by the end of 2027.
It's wild when you think about it, Bitcoin. So this came into play, I guess it was back in 2008, technically, is when it was first invented, if you will. But it's really taken off recently. And it's getting to the point where I feel like it's going to be one of those things where you can ask someone like you, Mark Cox, hey, do you know people who use Bitcoin? And you might hear more people saying yes. My husband knows somebody who has at least invested in Bitcoin. Because I guess you can invest versus buying actual Bitcoin.
I don't even know how that works.
I don't understand how all that works.
I just don't understand where the money is. Where's the money?
Well, it's somewhere because more and more companies are starting to accept it. I looked into this and I didn't realize how many well-known companies already do. Like, for example, Starbucks. Starbucks allows customers to use Bitcoin to reload their Starbucks cards on the app. Did you realize that?
I didn't. So that must be shares of Bitcoin, right? Because if you owned one whole coin, it'd be worth $100,000.
It's currently at 96,000.
Yes.
Yeah. So just over 96,000 Bitcoins equals $1. But obviously that's changing. I mean, as I'm speaking right now, I'm seeing it fluctuate.
Equals one coin.
No. 96,000 U.S. dollars equals one Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that not what I said? Did I get that backwards?
You said it equals $1.
It's a stupid system. There are only so many Bitcoins that are able to
that exist,
had.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
No, That is what it is. 96,000 Bitcoins equals $1.
No, you had it right the second time.
It's $96,000 equals one Bitcoin right now. It would cost you almost $100,000 to buy a Bitcoin.
One Bitcoin. And you can't get it. Which is why that they're now doing this secondary thing so that you can invest in the idea of the Bitcoin.
Well, Whole Foods also accepts Bitcoin, Shopify, Home Depot, AT&T, Microsoft, PayPal. I didn't know all these companies were doing this. Have I been living under a rock? Well, now Virgin Voyages, which is a cruise line, has been the first cruise line to accept Bitcoin. I mean, is this the future where we're going to start paying for airline tickets using Bitcoin? I think people were hesitant, understandably, to want to get involved with this cryptocurrency, because I think so many of us, despite how much I looked into this yesterday, my brain still hurts trying to process it.
The first Bitcoin sale was for a pizza.
Well, I mean, my guess is it's not unlike a mutual fund. I mean, you're basically buying, a bunch of people are buying into something that holds shares of different companies. In this case, it holds shares of Bitcoin, pieces of Bitcoin or coins, and you own a small portion of it. I don't know how they determine the value of that, though. It can't be greater than the value of the whole, so I'm still confused as to how it works. You know who will know the answer to this is Taylor Riggs.
We should ask her about this.
Yeah, we have her on today in the 8 o'clock hour
because
from Fox Business.
These companies that are accepting Bitcoin, I mean, I get the value in that because we've seen tremendous growth over the last number of years. So I see why they might want to accept it. But really, I feel like the only way that would be possible is if your business is cash rich, right? Because you're not desperate to hold on to that money. You're able to put it into Bitcoin and hope that it's going to grow, continue to grow like we've seen. Like, for example, you can Google the number of Bitcoin transactions per day. And just yesterday, there were 523,480 transactions using Bitcoin yesterday. That's a 45% increase from 1 year ago.
Wow. Yeah,
that's pretty substantial. But this is such a volatile, it fluctuates so much in just a matter of days. I mean, it could increase 20% and then go down and go up. And so I think that's really what is surprising to me about a lot of these companies that are taking a risk and are willing to accept Bitcoin.
It's people who are ahead of the curve, people who have a different mindset, right? Like I saw a thing one time where somebody said, if you could go back in time and tell your younger self three words, what would they be, right? And to me, I'm thinking I'd go back to like 1985 and tell myself, take $1,000 and buy Apple stock,
mm-hmm.
right? Buy Apple stock. And if I could go back to 2008 when I was having that conversation with one of my friends at Channel 4 when Bitcoin first came out, and it was I remember it was $2,000 a coin. And I thought to myself, that's stupid. My wife would kill me if I paid $2,000 for something that exists in the Ethernet and you can't see it, mm-hmm. and you can't lay your hands on it. And now that $2,000 would be worth $96,000.
I guess, well, I wish I had invested in that way, too.
Yes.
I think about, like, gold, for example. A lot of people invest in gold. But to me, that's something tangible. Like, let's say that the world crashed and, you know, because now there's so many concerns we have with hackers getting into our systems. And, you don't know what could happen. So let's just say, like, you know, things go crazy. If I had buried gold in my backyard, I could dig that gold up and use it to trade and, you know, receive food or whatever other things I needed, right? But cryptocurrency's just out there. Wouldn't that be easily more or less destroyed, if you will, if things started going, like, it just wreaked havoc? Am I making sense here? Like,
no.
I feel like I would want something tangible to be able to know that if things went crazy, that I have something to actually trade that has value. It's accepted as value. And as more stores and businesses start to accept cryptocurrency, Bitcoin in this case, maybe that will be a thing in the future. But right now it's not. And so I think that's what...
I have heard people make that same argument for the gold standard, which we went away from many, many years ago. So your dollar is no longer based on gold. It's just based on how many dollars the U.S. decides to print.
Which we have seen dramatically change over the last number of years, and how easily they were printing it off.
Yes.
Like people did not seem concerned about that, and I don't know why.
Well, it's another cautionary tale about this global digital currency that some people are interested in us moving toward. I don't even know where Donald Trump stands on it. I don't think he's dramatically opposed to the idea. But if your bank account is tied to, you're paid digitally instead of in dollars into your bank account, what the government gives, the government can take away. I just don't think that's a good system.
Right.
I need to be able to go to the bank and take money out when I need money. I don't keep it in a jar in my basement, but people might go back to that if they faced a system like that.
And I know the feds tried to regulate this, but it seems like they're still, I don't know. I have a lot of questions about this, and I'm just curious to see where this goes. There was some financial guy, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't finish watching the video, but he talked about how he thinks it's going to basically hit 200,000. Again, it's around 96 right now, and then basically crash. And I don't know, that was where I stopped. I was going to bed last night. I stopped the video. I didn't go on. It was like a, you know, hour-long video explaining why. But some analysts are saying they think it's going to continue rising and then crash. Okay, well, things can crash and then go back up. But that would be interesting because a lot of these businesses like Home Depot or Starbucks that are accepting this as a form of payment, well, what does that mean for them?
Well, my guess is they take it and they hedge their bets as well, right? Maybe they
they'd have to
immediately
to
turn it
themselves.
Into cash so they can because they have to pay for the goods and services. They have
to be churning it. Yeah, but I would think they'd have to invest it somewhere else because if you're just cash, I mean, it could change. Like, by the time someone pays you, if you're not immediately turning that into cash, you could have a major drop in value by the time you try to turn it into cash.
Yes.
Right? So you're losing a ton of money. So I think that's what's so, it's so volatile.
Yep. I agree. I don't know if it, I don't know. But we clearly need to look into it. I saw an ATM the other day, like a machine in a gas station where you could buy Bitcoin. You could buy crypto, I should say, which is not exactly the same thing, but similar concept, just different name.
Seriously, my brain hurts.
It hurts my brain.
Trying to understand
I agree.
All of this.
I agree. But there are people smarter than us that are buying it. So we'll kick that around with Taylor Riggs from Fox Business when she joins us at about 8:35 this morning. We'll be back in just a minute.
We are talking with every senator that wants to talk to us. And the conversations we have with senators are, of course, going to remain private.
Yeah, Pete Hegseth there, if you couldn't make out the voice in the background. Not great audio, but now people are chasing him around asking him if he drinks on the job. If he's ever been drunk on the air. Because some nameless, faceless backstabbers at Fox claimed to the in a New York Times article that they knew of, or CNN or somebody talked to these former staffers who claimed that he had been drunk on the air. And of course, his co-anchors, Rachel Campos Duffy and the other guy's name's escaping me, whose show we air here on the radio station, on the weekends, his co-hosts have both flatly denied that. They said, I've worked with him for 8 years, and that's not true. Hegseth may be out, though. According to reports this morning, Donald Trump is considering replacing him with Ron DeSantis. Now, I haven't heard whether or not this is a job Ron DeSantis wants. I'd be a little bit suspicious as to whether or not he would step away from the governorship to take that job as defense secretary. The idea of being nominated according as defense secretary has been presented to DeSantis in recent days, according to the outlet. The president-elect and the Florida governor were together Tuesday at the memorial service of slain police officers in Palm Beach County, Florida. And like Hegseth and Trump, DeSantis has been a vocal critic of woke Pentagon policies. What do you think, Ron DeSantis? I think he'd be a shoo-in for the job.
I don't know if I see that happening. I mean, I really like Ron DeSantis. I think he would probably want to do, assuming he's going to run in 2028, I'm guessing J.D. Vance would run. But if Ron DeSantis wants to go up against Vance, I'm thinking he'll do whatever he believes will put him in the best position to be the candidate. So I don't know if that would be defense secretary or if he'd be better off staying as governor. People have thrown out that Matt Gaetz would try to be governor of Florida. I think people there like Gaetz, but I don't know that he has enough of that likability factor to be the governor of Florida.
Who is the lieutenant governor of Florida right now? Let's Google that. I don't even know who
it
is.
I'm not sure.
Because whoever that...
Jeanette Nunez.
Jeanette Nunez would become governor if he stepped down. She's the lieutenant governor currently. American businesswoman.
He's termed out, right? Next.
Yeah, I don't think he can run again after this. So you know, it's kind of old school thinking for people who want to rise to the level of president that it helps to have served in Congress. Certainly a lot of people who've been United States senators have been elected, and people who have been governors have been elected to the presidency. You have that administrative experience by doing that. And it for many of them, it used to be another feather in their cap if they had served some role in a foreign policy role. And DeSantis has been in the military. Obviously, he served. I think he was in the Judge Advocate Corps. But I don't know how much direct foreign policy experience he's got. So something like this would certainly bolster his resume to run in a few years.
Yeah.
I mean, Maybe it's a Vance DeSantis ticket. What do you think? I just don't know. I just haven't heard if he's interested in it or not.
I have a hard time believing that DeSantis would want to be VP to Vance. Maybe he'd take that over nothing.
Or maybe he'd try to primary him. Right? I mean, everybody will throw their hat in the ring.
I think he'll run against Vance.
Yes, I think you're probably right.
I think with Trump out of the picture, then it opens up the door for DeSantis, who just didn't, he was kind of steamrolled over him. He just didn't stand a chance. He didn't come off the best in debates, but I'm assuming that 4 years of practice, he might be able to work on that.
Well, there are lots of suggestions this morning that Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard are both considered less likely to be approved by the Senate. And what that means is that there are five or six Republicans that are part of the problem, and some of them are the ones you would expect. And then there's Lindsey Graham, who came out yesterday and questioned whether or not he might support Pete Hegseth. So Mitch McConnell is a wild card in all this because he doesn't like Trump. And I just don't know. I think it's a shame if that happens. But just so you know, that's what's out there this morning. That's what people are talking about. Coming up, we'll talk to Terry Schilling. The United States Supreme Court is going to take on the transgender issue today in court. He is with the American Principles Project. We're going to get him on here at about 6:20. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.